You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Actually, you're up.
That's right, Gibbs, you're up. Your name is Kid. The Kid, what started as a seed of the Friday forecast has blossomed into Friday with Kid. Bringing our producer, the great Jason Gibbs, right now as we go through the Friday forecast.
Number one. Question number one today, guys. If the draft were today, call your shot. Browns at 12, Browns at 19.
All right, Browns at 12, I think, is a lock. Dan Shelton will be the pick at 12. And at 19, I don't really have an exact name, but if you force me to throw something in there, I don't really think he'll be there, but in my dream, Mr. Bud Dupree.
All right. I like that. I, too, have a lock at 12 with Mr. Dan Shelton. And then at 19, I have two names written down. I have Vic Beasley, who's been dropping out of the top 10 for some forsaken reason, who would add, again, a pass rush to this defense. The other guy is a guy who's been rising up many, who has started this process as a second-round pick, Nelson Agholor out of USC.
All right, I'm going to go 12, Danny Shelton. We are in agreement at number 19. I am going to go and come back with Shane Ray falling, and I think he is going to be a monster pass rusher.
Number two. Question number two, guys. What would you rather be? The player who gets invited to the first round, ends up sitting there in the green room the entire night, and doesn't get picked on day one, or Mr. Irrelevant?
It's tough because I think it'd be fun to be Mr. Irrelevant. I think I could really have some fun with that. But you fall out of the first round, you're still getting picked in the second round. You have a much better chance of making the team. You're going to make more money. And so really, when it comes down to it, I think it's an easy call.
It is an easy call. And while it may be a little bit embarrassing, you have an opportunity to prove yourself and almost a foregone conclusion that you will make the team. And, oh, by the way, your bonus may be between $1 and $2 million being drafted in the early second round as opposed to $40,000 to $50,000 being the Mr. Irrelevant. But getting a jersey with your pick on it is always cool.
In the words of, what is it, Ja Rule, it ain't even a question. Maybe that's DMX. DMX. Yeah, DMX. It ain't even a question. You want to be the guy who's still drafted in the second round, not the last pick of the seventh round. That's right. Gibbs, I mean, you wrote the question.
You get that whole, like, Disney trip. You're a celeb for a little bit. You got picked.
Dude, you might. But then you're going to be on the streets.
Probably. I'm bagging groceries, whatever. That's a good story, cool. Though. Maybe they make a Disney movie out of it.
It's about the memories, not the money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There
Matt.
You go. Okay.
Number three.
Remember you said that.
Yeah, no. Hey, that's what happens when you work here every day. Question number three. What player on the Browns would be a good coach after his playing career is over?
I think Josh McCown is the answer. I think he's almost a coach on the roster as we speak. You hear what he did with, Jay Cutler, spoke highly of him, and Jay Cutler doesn't speak highly of any coach. And I just think that he has the right mentality, smart guy. I would say Josh McCown would be my choice.
I, too, wrote down Josh McCown in the break as we were getting ready for the Friday forecast. And the reason why is we all hope.
We don't even know him, really.
That's all right, but we know the role that he's going to play here. He may start the season, but he's not the end-all at quarterback, and he was brought here to be a great leader and a great pro to influence that quarterback room.
I'm going to go with Carlos Dansby. Carlos Dansby, when he was on the sideline for those few weeks, was coaching everybody up. I think he knows how to talk to the players. I think you know how to motivate them. I think he understands the game of football very well. I think he's just got the gift of gab. I think he'd be great. I go Carlos Dansby.
Number four. Final question of the week, gentlemen. In honor of last night's big MLB brawl between Kansas City and Chicago. By the way, fantastic.
I didn't even see it. I'm going to have to go look this up.
So the Kansas City pitcher has been in four games this year. He has yet to be taken out of a game. Two times he left with an injury or a cramp or something. Two times he's been ejected out of the four starts.
Wow.
Fantastic fight.
Sounds like you in a rec league in basketball.
Hey, man. Don't look at me wrong. What is the best sports fight you've ever seen?
Well, the best sports fight I ever saw, I was in Las Vegas, and I looked up at a TV, and it was the Malice in the Palace. And I was, I was in Vegas, so, I was, really enjoying myself. And I almost thought I was imagining it, except for the two guys that were with me. They thought they were imagining it because it was such a crazy fight. That is hands down the greatest sports fight ever.
The best sports fight that I was actually watching live was the Pacers versus Pistons when Ron Artest.
That's what he's talking about.
When Malice at the Palace.
Yeah, went AWOL. I'm just saying, okay, that I'm calling it by something different. And to say, Ron Artest went AWOL off the deep end and needs drugs. And I was actually watching the game myself when it happened, and I was in disbelief.
I'll go for a different one because this is what popped into my head. Obviously, that popped into my head as well. But I'm going to go with when old Nolan Ryan
That's
beat up Robin Ventura.
That is a good one.
And I can imagine him saying to Robin Ventura as he was beating him up, like the landlord's voice in Ace Ventura, Ventura. And he just beat him up pretty good. What was yours, Gibbs?
I went to an Indians-Red Sox game at Old Municipal Stadium. It was bat day. So literally everybody got a 33-ounce bat.
Oh, man.
And like tensions were high all week. Roger Clemens was on the hill. And Alex Cole, they were talking trash. And you knew it was coming. First pitch went right. He went headhunting, and Cole took the bat to the mound. And 20 minutes later, they were still fighting. They had to call Cleveland police onto the field to break it up. It was awesome.
That's pretty epic. When I was a kid, there was an A's Indians fight where Mark McGwire ended up mounting and punching Andy Allenson, I believe, was the catcher at the time of the Cleveland Indians.
Some of the best fights that I've ever seen happen in Chargers-Raiders games in the stands, though.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, the Black Colt, no good.
Is it true you couldn't take your helmet off when you left the field there?
No.
Not true.
Not true.
All right, we got to thank a lot of people today. Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. Thank you, sir. Louis Riddick from ESPN. Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report. If you missed any of those great interviews, get them now on the Browns app or at clevelandbrowns.com. For Jason Gibbs, for the kid, for Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Draft week, folks.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.